I'm Stephen M. Hall, MD, an integral physician.
And I'm Grace Porter, a licensed psychotherapist. And together, we're the 7 Tools, a company focused on your personal growth and transformation.
And you are here with us for the Change for Good Summit. This year, we're focusing on building resilience in anxious times.
This summit is full of deep conversation and practical advice. We hope you enjoy this interview.
So now let's dive in.
I'm Grace Porter with 7 Tools of Healing, and I'm here for the Change for Good Summit, Building Resilience in Anxious Times. And I'm here today with Carly Schweet. And Carly is a self-care coach and author of the book and digital course, Boundaries with Soul. After years of people-pleasing in the corporate fashion industry in New York City, she finally realized that there was more to life than being a chronic yes woman. By practicing transformational self-care, she gained more confidence and discovered that by making her needs a priority, real happiness would soon follow. Carly is the host of the You Time podcast, and her work has been featured on major media outlets such as MindBodyGreen, Bustle, Hello Giggles, and Elite Daily. And today we're going to be having a conversation about the power of setting boundaries, how boundaries can be a form of self-care, and the idea, or how the ideas of boundaries intersect with the experience of anxiety. So welcome, Carly. Really excited to have you here.
Thank you so much. I am honored to be a part of this.
Yeah. So can you, I mean, I know that I just read a little intro about you, but could you tell us a little bit more about yourself and your journey into becoming a self-care coach? How did that happen for you?
Absolutely. Now, my story really began when I was growing up as a young kid back in the Midwest, and I was a chronic people pleaser. I was taught from a very young age that you bend over backwards for people, always do right by others before even taking care of yourself, and you know, just putting others' needs as a priority over my own. And that behavior really stuck with me through my schooling life, you know, through college, through my corporate job in New York City. And there was a time when I found myself at work, locked in the bathroom stall, experiencing an anxiety attack because I had taken on too many responsibilities that technically weren't even mine, and felt completely overwhelmed and did not know how to effectively communicate that and receive the support I needed. And it was in that moment that I began to realize something needs to change. This isn't the life I want to live anymore. I am worthy and deserving of so much more. And through that period of transformation, I began working out with a personal trainer, and it wasn't so much the physical changes that really spurred this massive shift in my life. It was dedicating time to myself and saying no to other things that would get in my way of creating that space for myself. And over time, I just started to kind of grow and build. And eventually, I quit my corporate job, enrolled at the Institute for Integrative Nutrition. And now I've been doing this work for, my gosh, I guess it will be 5 years this coming winter, which is really exciting.
That is really exciting. It's nice when we're able to dedicate our time to the things that bring us alive like that.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I hear you using the term transformational self-care. I feel like self-care is one of those words that gets kind of like bantied about a lot. Can you explain to us what you mean by transformational self-care?
Absolutely. So, you know, I think self-care has become such a popular word, and often we think of self-care as something we need to purchase in order to practice self-care. So maybe that's a face mask or a massage or going to get our nails done. But yes, that type of self-care can really make us feel good, which, you know, I experienced that when I went to the gym and really started dedicating time to myself. But I believe that true transformational self-care, the stuff that really sticks with you and isn't easy or fun, is setting boundaries, learning how to say no, communicating your needs so you're not stuck in the corporate bathroom stall having an anxiety attack. And transformational self-care is what I believe. There are practices that have the power to completely transform not only your mindset, but your life, as cliche as it can sound.
Yeah, no, that makes total sense to me. And while we're on the mode of defining terms, I was also hoping that we could talk about what you mean when you say a boundary. What are we even talking about?
Yeah, that's a really great question. And I find that a lot of people, they hear the word boundary and they're not really even sure what it means. So thank you for asking. I like to describe boundaries with a kind of visual prompt of, if your body is the house and the energy around you is your yard and the fence that surrounds your yard, that's your boundary. And that fence has a gate, and that gate is the difference between yes and no. So yes, I'm letting someone in. I'm acknowledging them. They're coming into my space, into my home, into my yard. Or no, I'm good. And you build that boundary and that gate stays shut and they are out. And a boundary really is a limit between what's okay and what's not okay. And that boundary can be within ourselves. So we have internal boundaries, which looks like committing to a workout plan, committing to nourishing our bodies in a specific way, or putting the phone down at 9 p.m. because we know we sleep better when we do that. Or an external boundary, which is a boundary with other people in our lives. And a healthy balance of internal and external boundaries are really, really necessary to have an effective self-care practice.
Yeah. What would you say is the power of holding healthy boundaries? I mean, I think we talk about whether to hold boundaries or not hold boundaries, but it's really about holding boundaries in a healthy place.
Yeah, I mean, boundaries, so I have this term boundaries with soul, and that's what my book is called. And I think boundaries sometimes can come off as a negative thing. They can feel really isolating, maybe a little unhealthy, and have this sort of negative connotation. So I really like to reframe them into soulful boundaries, or creating boundaries with soul, which to me feels a little bit more aligned with who we are at our core and what really is the most important to us and who we are as a human and what our authentic values are. And ultimately, I believe that will lead to the creation of healthier boundaries that come from a place of love versus boundaries that maybe feel, like I said, a little isolating or
harsh,
yeah, or rude, or just like you don't care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it sounds like it's about figuring out where you're wanting to put your energy, and then setting your boundaries such so that your energy can be going into the things that are congruent with who you really are, or are building the life that brings you joy and satisfaction, and a sense of ease, as opposed to doing the work of others or doing more than what works for you so that you're feeling drained and depleted at the end of the day.
Yes, exactly. The first step in my book is getting back in touch with your authentic self and like, who are you? What's important to you? And it's so easy, especially as a people pleaser, to lose touch of that. You know, when you live life for others, you start to absorb their desires and who they are and what they like and what they enjoy. It's really easy for all of that knowledge about ourselves to fall by the wayside.
Yeah. So before we get too much further into the conversation and wanting to bring in anxiety explicitly, I think that it's already here implicitly, but as you see it, like, what is the connection between boundary and anxiety?
Yeah, that's such a great question. And, you know, for me, I can speak from such personal experience when I was having this anxiety attack in the bathroom. And, you know, at one point in the past 2 years, I kind of looked back on my life and was like, I was an extremely anxious person for a long time and never recognized it, because I, with the people-pleasing mindset and lack of boundaries, I instantly told myself, I'm not doing enough. Why am I feeling this way? I had no self-compassion and I just instantly blamed myself versus looking at okay, well, what actually am I taking on too much of, and what is in my control? And I just thought inherently I wasn't, quote, good enough. And I think when we have a lack of boundaries, our anxiety really, really is highlighted, because we're so worried about what other people think that we forget to even care about what we think or what's important to us. And we get so fixated on the what ifs. What if this happens? Or what if this happens? Or should I have done this? Or should I have done that? That maybe no action is even taken at all. And that holds us back. And I mean, having a lack of boundaries can just completely magnify any anxiety that you're feeling, or I believe really, really contribute to the root cause.
Yeah. So where do we learn how to put our boundaries, or like what patterns shape where our boundaries are?
Yeah. And you know, it can be sometimes tough to discover our boundary lines. And I always say we all have these boundary lines. They are there. It's just a matter of whether or not we choose to acknowledge and honor them. So I really encourage clients and those in my community to tune into your body, and your body is sending off so many clues and signals as to when a boundary is being violated or something's not sitting right with you. You just have to listen. And something that you might begin to notice is, for me, a pit in my stomach. As soon as I feel that pit, that anxious gnaw, which I'm sure a lot of you can relate to, it is now my cue to take a look around and say, huh, what's going on here that I'm not comfortable with? Or where have I overextended myself? Or where is someone taking advantage of my time or my energy? Whereas in the past, before I had an idea of the importance of boundaries, I would feel that anxious gnaw and say, oh, gosh, why can't I just get it right? And really learning to tune into your body is really important. Other places you could feel the tension of a sign that something needs to be paid attention to is in your throat. I've heard clients say they feel it in their forehead. In the chest is also a really common place, or sweaty palms as well.
Mm-hmm. I get it in my shoulders. All of a sudden, my shoulders are up in my ears.
You're like, wait, this isn't right. This isn't normal.
You do have a neck. Yeah. So we can start to be aware of what it feels like when our boundaries have been crossed, or when we have wanted to hold a boundary that we maybe haven't spoken. Because I think we're responsible for setting our boundaries blatantly enough that the people around us know where they are. So we might be having our boundaries be trespassed upon because we haven't verbally set them or explicitly set them. But so that feeling might be coming when we haven't held a boundary, or when someone has run over a boundary that we have.
Yes. And I love how you brought up the point of communication, because communication is so important. And I think the idea of setting boundaries and holding our ground, or people acknowledging our needs on a more simple level, feels so great. And we imagine like everyone should be able to read our mind, right? And pick up on our needs and know what we're feeling, but that's not the truth. You know, maybe you're good at doing that as someone, you know, who is a people pleaser, or highly empathetic or sensitive person. Sometimes it's really easy to pick up on what other people need, but not everyone can do that. And it is your responsibility to communicate where your boundaries are and where your needs are, where they're being met and where they're not being met.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a really good point. And in your experience with people, in your own life, maybe, where did your patterns around boundaries come from? What were the sources of being a yes woman for you?
Yeah. So I think a lot of it for me, like I said, was with my upbringing. It was a lot of learned behavior, and I noticed those patterns continue into my work and my romantic relationships. Ironically enough, I'm really great now at setting boundaries with my family and also now with practice in my romantic relationships, in my marriage, and in work as well. But it took a lot of practice because you really have to unlearn all of this behavior that you've been conditioned and told for so long. This behavior is what makes you a quote good person or what makes people like you. And I read a really powerful example in the book Boundaries, and it was talking about how when, you know, kids, they're young, 2 or 3 years old, and you know, 4 or 5, you know, young kids, and they're told they're leaving a family function and they're told to go give Aunt Jane a hug, and the kid says no, and mom says yes, you have to go give Aunt Jane a hug, and Aunt Jane says, well, you're making me so sad by not giving me a hug. And I remember that now so vividly from my childhood, all of these moments and instances where I was told I was making someone sad because I said no, or I was being stubborn because I said no. And over time, those stories started to become my truth. And I thought that I was mean if I told someone no because it would make them sad, or I thought I was stubborn if I said no because that's what I was told. So it took a lot of time for me to really unlearn that behavior and understand that those things aren't always true.
Yeah. And maybe I'm extrapolating a little bit, but it sounds like the idea of saying no felt really unsafe. And so stepping into the idea of maybe I'm going to set boundaries in a different place. Maybe I'm going to speak my truth a little bit more clearly. Maybe I'm going to say no to the things that don't work for me. That what is likely to come up in those moments is a lot of fear and a lot of anxiety around what's going to happen if you do that, or remembering past times when it didn't go well. And when safety is invoked, that's a really powerful energy in our lives when we feel insecure or unsafe.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're so right about that. I mean, it was this false sense of security that I had, and addressing that head on and saying, I'm going to set this boundary and see what happens. Sometimes it didn't work so well, right? Sometimes I received a lot of pushback, which then made me question, oh shoot, this is validating everything I was scared it would. Or sometimes people would completely understand and I'd think, wow, they still love me. It's totally okay. And it's a learning process for sure. And, people ask me now, like, well, is it something you struggle with? I'm like, I struggle every day setting boundaries. I mean, it's not ever going to be something that is, quote, easy for me, because they come in so many different forms and they're so complex and so layered. And every day is a new experience that I'm faced with. So, yeah, it's a practice for sure.
Yeah, and a learning curve. I will say to you and the listeners who don't know that I am also a bit of a people pleaser in programming. And I would find that sometimes when I would set a boundary, I would like wait so long to set it that by the time I set it, I would just blast. So I would be so angry, or I would be so sad, or I would be so whatever it was I was feeling, that I was not able to set the boundary with love and respect and kindness because I was just past my breaking point. And so what the boundary that I would set would be, I mean, like I think of it as like scorched earth dragon style boundary setting. Like it doesn't work that way either. And I'm not saying that it's, you know, work in progress over here also, and that like, being able to say something sooner, being able to recognize when I need to say something sooner has been a learning curve and is continuing to be a learning curve and is so important. And that compassion for myself in those moments when I blast someone or when I let somebody overstep, that it's not like a perfect attendance score.
Totally
kind
not.
Of a game. Yeah.
Yeah. I always say like the most important tool that you can take with yourself on this journey is grace and patience with yourself. I mean, it's it's a different boundary every day. You know, it's a different path. And, you know, learning from those moments where you are that dragon breathing boundary setting, you know, resentment fueled, because that's what a lot of us feel, I think, when we're at that point. It's just so resentful and frustrated and mad. And learning from that and saying, okay, how could I have caught this earlier? You know, what were the warning signs? And really learning from that is so important. And that's when, for me, the nauseated knots come in, and, you know, for you, the shoulders. So like, shoulders are extra tense. Okay, something, where my neck go? Something's going on.
Yeah. You need to take a look.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think in my practice, and I also do a lot of work with overgivers and people pleasers, I think that one of the things that comes up for me that I would love to hear your thoughts on is this idea of the purpose of the boundaries being in a bad place. Like what we're trying to achieve by having our boundaries in an unhealthy place isn't necessarily, I mean, how do I want to say this? Like that there's usually a reason why we have our boundaries where we have them. And building compassion for that and an understanding of that is often a helpful step in the process towards healing. And so I'm kind of curious to you about your experience with like the purpose of boundaries being where they are when they're in an unhealthy place.
Yeah, yeah. So just so I'm clear, so when boundaries, you're curious more about when boundaries are maybe like non-existent in a certain spot, why would we continue to build them there? Or
yeah, like what purpose did it serve for you to be an over pleaser or a people pleaser, or like for people whose boundaries are like way too close and they don't let enough in? Like,
oh yeah.
What is, so like the we usually have a reason for why we do what we do, and what's the good or the mechanism that's happening behind the scenes that is worth noting and worth honoring?
Yeah. No, that's a really great question. Thank you for clarifying. You know, so for me, I can speak to both someone who is extremely guarded, or someone who, like myself, a few years ago was completely unguarded. For me, my sense of self-worth and my sense of validation came from pouring myself into others. And whether it was because I felt I was unworthy of loving myself unconditionally or fully, or felt I had to gain acceptance from others in some way or another, whether they were a boyfriend or friend or coworker, I was lacking that self-confidence and sense of security on my own. Even though outwardly, if you met me in that time, you probably wouldn't have expected that. I was very outgoing and animated and, you know, trying to just put up this facade, really. And poured myself into others constantly to make up for what I felt like I was missing inside and validate what I thought was a good person and good behavior. On the flip side, someone who's extremely boundaried, very guarded, I think, you know, that person tends to have a really protected heart and has probably set boundaries in the past that didn't go so well. And you know, had relationships in the past that required them to really keep their thoughts and their feelings very close to them. And boundaries were their coping mechanism, and boundaries were their way to keep people out and to not be vulnerable with themselves or with others.
Mm. Yeah, it sounds like either way, it's kind of a protective mechanism.
Totally, totally. It's just this sliding scale.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's that sense of being able to be okay with and have your boundaries in a place that's supportive and healthy for you.
Yep, absolutely. And that comes back to that kind of the gate that I mentioned in the fence. That is, it can open and it can close. It's not fused shut. It's not stuck open. It is able to move freely based off of what you feel is best for you in that moment in time.
Yeah. And from your experience with clients or your own experience, what do you notice happening for people when they start holding their boundaries in a healthier place?
Oh, yes. This is a great question. So a lot of the obvious things happen, right? We have more time for ourselves. We feel more energized. We're pouring ourselves into things and people and commitments that really light us up. But there are a lot of unexpected things that happen when we start setting healthy boundaries. One is we receive pushback. People closest to us really will push back and test us. And it can hurt. It can feel uncomfortable. It can make us question if what we were doing or attempting to do was the right decision. Sometimes, in addition to the pushback, you can kind of disrupt some people's patterns. That was a really interesting finding for me and my clients as well, was what sense of security your boundaries, or I should say your lack of boundaries, provided for the person who was continually violating your boundaries. And it's hard to kind of imagine that, but if you have someone in your life where you have no boundaries with, and all of a sudden you set a boundary, they're going to say,
"What just happened?"
Yeah, exactly. What just happened? Oh my gosh. You know, they get so flustered and disrupted because you're disrupting their typical security pattern. And that's a really unanticipated side effect that can come with setting boundaries. So it's really important to remember, often those reactions are not directly about you. Sure, you might have triggered them by setting your boundary, but they're not really about you. They're about whatever you are disrupting on them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you talked about this in one of your podcast episodes, where there's almost this like giving back what's not yours when you start holding boundaries in a healthier place for yourself, that you can stop holding the things that are doing the emotional work of the people around you. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Absolutely. So for me, I grew up in a home. I am super close with my family. I love them dearly. My parents got divorced when I was in high school, and it was completely unexpected to me and my brother. And I realized that I constantly played the role of communicator within the family. And I've talked about this before in my book and some of my podcast episodes, but I would be the one holding the emotional baggage, literally going, "Here, Dad, this is from Mom," or like, "Here, brother, this is from Dad," and being that person to facilitate and be this emotional scapegoat for my family. And that's not cool. So setting my boundaries really allowed me to say, no longer will I be your messenger or your communicator. And now's your chance to step up and assume the role to effectively communicate what you need and what you want, instead of pushing it on me to do the dirty work. And whether that happens in your personal family life or at work or in your romantic relationships, when you set those boundaries and say, "I'm no longer holding what's not mine," you give the other person a chance to really step up and step into that role of whatever it is you were holding for them. You give them an opportunity to communicate, to voice their needs, or to step up to the plate.
Yeah. And what did you notice happening for your family when you took that step back?
Oh, it was an interesting time. You know, it's hard. Setting boundaries isn't always like easy breezy. It is.
Can we just say almost always is not easy breezy?
Almost never
is easy breezy.
Yeah. Pretty much every time I set a boundary, like my palms start to sweat and I'm like, okay, I can do it. But, you know, it was hard. I got pushback, of course, a lot of confusion. I think it triggered, you know, a lot of emotional feelings of, oh my gosh, why is she doing this? Does she not love us anymore? Like, is she mad at us? And I told my parents, and I tell my clients to do the same, or encourage my clients to do the same. You can, at times, in the right circumstances, back up your boundaries with love. So, excuse me, I had to have the conversation with my parents and say, "I love you guys. This has nothing to do with your decision of getting a divorce. This is just a pattern that has been brought to light by your decision. And ultimately, I want what's best for you guys, and I hope you want what's best for me too. And I know that you do. So in order for this to happen, quote, what's best for me, I no longer can play this role in the family. And when I explained it that way versus, no, I'm not doing that. I'm done. I'm finished with that. I'm not going to be that person. It gave my parents enough pause to really say, oh, wow, we had no idea that we were doing that to you. And we're so sorry. And we truly love and want the best for you. The vulnerability was really important.
Yeah, I can like feel that in my body even as you're talking, that it feels really different.
Yeah, way different. It's way different. And that's where I like to say, those are how soulful boundaries are different. They have a layer of vulnerability that sometimes is required.
Yeah, I think one of my professors in grad school, I think he was talking about addiction, but it holds true in other scenarios in a family also, that like when one person shifts, it's like one piece of a mobile gets pulled down and the whole system has to like recalibrate. And it's not that it won't find a new balancing point. It's just that everything gets shaken up in the meantime. And it's disruptive to everybody who's used to hanging an inch higher and is now, you know, a little lower or whatever.
Totally.
Yeah. And that that can be really messy. And sometimes, you know, the effort to put the person back where it was so that the systems can go back to the way that they were and the patterns can continue on as they always have can be really fierce.
Yeah.
And not everybody is able to make the shifts required. And so sometimes it means like jumping off the mobile, and that can be really scary too.
Yes. Oh, I have goosebumps, you know, and you're so right about that. You know, I was very fortunate that my parents were both quick to be compassionate and understanding. But yeah, I mean, sometimes it doesn't work like that. And that's when you're faced with the decision of, do I jump off this mobile? Do I cut this out of my life? Like, how do I navigate this? It can go a variety of ways for sure.
Yeah. I think one of the things I often tell my clients is your relationships will change or your relationships will change.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, things will change, you know, and that's kind of what we're hoping for, right? But it's not going to be easy.
Yeah.
But it's so, so worth it.
Yeah. And it's really scary in the meantime. I think that one of the things I was thinking about when I was prepping for this interview was the kind of the feedback loop of anxiety and boundaries, and that I think oftentimes our anxieties dictate where our boundaries are, and sometimes we'll put our boundaries in places that are unhealthy for us. And also the idea of setting boundaries or our boundaries being in unhealthy places will sometimes in and of them, like that in and of itself will create anxiety. And so it gets really complicated really quickly when we start trying to tease apart what's happening and the vulnerability that we're willing to show and the resources that we have or don't have for ourselves in that.
Yeah. Yeah. And what's interesting too is sometimes even when your boundaries are in a healthy spot, if they're relatively new to you and you're just now practicing learning how to say no and getting comfortable with it, maybe the anxiety is dissipating around that. But then the anxiety likes to show up when you want to say yes. And then you're like, do I say yes? Can I say yes? Am I allowed to say yes? What is saying yes going to do? And it's the other side of the coin. And I always joke, I'm like, I need to write a book about like life beyond boundaries. Like, you set boundaries, now what?
Yeah. Yeah. Everything doesn't just all of a sudden feel easy.
Nope. It is a daily, not even daily. It is a moment by moment practice. It truly is. And it's knowing what you want, what you require as a human to feel happy, to feel secure, and just using your best judgment every moment you can and not getting stuck in that negative feedback loop of, did I make the right decision? Should I have done something different? You just decide and you move on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So it sounds like being in touch with your own inner voice so that you can have trust that the choices that you're making are the best for you or the best that you were able to make for yourself in the moment with the information that you had.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So we've been talking about having our own boundaries. I'm curious if we can talk a little bit about interfacing with other people's and other people's boundaries, and how that relates to anxiety, like the idea of.
I love this question, because I think so. Through my own life and my own experiences and working with clients, you might be surprised to hear that people pleasers are often the biggest boundary violators of them all. Surprise! Yes. So when it comes to respecting other people's boundaries, I mean, I can think of so many times throughout my life that I took on things that weren't mine to carry. I jumped in and fixed problems when no one asked for my help because I was told that makes me a good person, but actually it kind of just makes you a boundary violator. And learning to recognize other people's boundaries and respect them. Of course, say, hey, do you need my help? Ask a question. Would you like my opinion? Give people the opportunity to voice their boundary or whether or not they'd like to open that gate for you and let you in, is a really, really positive way to begin to create a healthy relationship with other people's boundaries and in return, give you a chance to examine yours in the process of the feedback you receive from them, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it makes a lot of sense. I think that it's that, it's like that gift of the autonomy back to them and also like the gift to you of pulling back a little bit, perhaps.
Mm-hmm,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And this, the way that we're talking about this feels like if we're overgiving. And what about if we're overtaking?
Ooh. So I've noticed other things about people pleasers as well. And we tend to overgive in a lot of areas of our lives. And then sometimes we overtake because that's the only place we feel like we know how to control. If you're not a people pleaser and you are continually overtaking, oh man, I mean, when it comes to boundaries, you really have to be honest about your internal boundaries in that point and say, is my overtaking really lending to help me live the life that's healthiest and happiest for me? If I'm constantly overtaking, whether that's in the way that I eat or the way that I spend money or what I'm asking for from other people, is that really, really making me the happiest version of myself? Or what am I trying to cover up with that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it feels like it gives away too much of your power and pulling your boundaries back or you know, stepping off of other people's boundaries a little bit.
Yeah.
Then your well-being is not contingent on them being able to meet all of your needs.
Right.
Same way. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, safety is just all wrapped up in this, isn't it?
it really is. And it really all comes down to, like you said, safety, or I say sense of like security and fear.
Yeah.
And that's, I love just to sit and analyze people and behaviors in my own. And I'm like, where does it come from? You know, a lot of it comes from this sense of security, false sense of security, a lack of security.
Yeah. And all the different ways that shows up.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And taking up space, not taking up space, being liked.
Yes.
Being worthy, being enough, deserving something.
Yes.
Yeah.
Adapting to be someone we're not because we think we're more secure that way. I mean, I lived that life for
a while. Belonging. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I was speaking to a colleague a couple of weeks ago, actually, and she also works with a lot of overgivers and people pleasers. And she was talking about service as currency. And I really loved thinking about it that way because it's like what we sometimes show up to in our relationships is like, okay, I've got the overgiving and what am I going to get in return? It's like that we feel like we have to do something in order to deserve, you know, whatever else XYZ in our relationship, and that it's like our way of earning our keep or so belonging or deserving, being worthy. Yeah, so I would love to hear your thoughts about what you feel the problems with that way of conceptualizing it is in how it plays out for people's lives. Not that there's a problem thinking about it that way, but that the how that pattern causes problems.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you're constantly giving as a way to receive something in return, I really have to, you know, encourage people to question their motives of giving in the first place. Are you truly giving to be of service and really expect nothing in return? Or are you giving because you hope that it will fulfill you just enough or provide that sense of security just enough so you're feeling okay? You know, and over time, as that behavior continues and continues, I can only imagine you get stuck with strong feelings of resentment. Because what happens if people stop giving back to you? Mm-hmm. You know, and I always joke, like in one of my blog posts, I was saying I was constantly overgiving and overgiving and overgiving and burned out and exhausted. There was a moment I looked around and I was, you know, theoretically alone. And I'm like, where's everyone asking how I'm feeling? You know, and it felt very isolating sometimes to live in that giving, giving, giving only because I want to receive something back that will fulfill me in ways that I can't fulfill myself right now because I feel scared or fearful or a lack of security.
Yeah. And so then we're back to building that autonomy
and being
self-sufficient in you know, our ability to take care of our own inner needs, not being reliant on other people to make us okay.
It is so important. And I really wish that I knew from a younger age just how wildly capable I am and I was to not only understand my own needs, to feel them, to understand them, but to express them safely. Because I grew up not only being told I was stubborn, but being told I was too emotional. And to this day, sometimes I'm still told that. And now I'm like, your limiting belief is not my story. That is not true. It can be so easy to fall into those traps of just believing other people's limiting beliefs and fears as our own story and using that as a fuel to fuel negative behavior or getting stuck in those negative loops.
Yeah, so it actually dovetails really nicely with what I wanted to ask you about next, which is like what happens when people make that shift into feeling inherently worthy of setting boundaries for themselves in a healthy place when that sense of worthiness permeates their life. What happens?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it was this literally a waking up moment. I woke up one day, I was in an emotionally abusive relationship for 3.5 years. Because I thought I could fix him. That's funny.
But not funny at all.
And now looking back, I'm like, why didn't anyone tell me? Why didn't I realize this? Again, trying not to get caught in that anxiety loop of coulda, woulda, shoulda. But I am grateful for what that relationship taught me about how strong I can be and how resilient we are and how inherently worthy we are of setting boundaries. We don't have to fix people to set boundaries. We don't have to overgive to set boundaries. We don't have to be a straight A student or the top employee to set boundaries. We don't have to be the best mother to set boundaries. As a human with a kind heart and a good soul, I believe that we are worthy of setting boundaries. You know, sometimes the feeling of worthiness can come to us as this quick moment of, oh my gosh, like, I've been drowning. What have I been doing? Or maybe it's just a moment at a time. Maybe it's a moment of, you know what? I'm not going to go to that happy hour because I'm worthy of sitting on the couch and taking a nap tonight. Or maybe I'm not going to sit on the couch tonight because I'm worthy of going to the gym and feeling good. And it all comes back to getting in touch with who you are, what's important to you, and what your goals really are that you want to set, not what society, not what social media is telling you need to do or how you need to look, but what really feels good to you as a human. And worthiness is something that we are all I believe we are born with, and it's not something that has to be earned through all of those things that I mentioned.
Yeah. And you have an e-course that helps people connect with these ideas. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yes, absolutely. So the course is appropriately named Worthy, and it is a course that, surprise, surprise, looks at limiting beliefs and fears and walks you through this practice of examining a fear, looking at why we hold that fear. Where does it come from? Maybe who told us this at one point? Flipping that fear on its head by proving it wrong with points of evidence. And then you go through and you finish the rest of the course and you come out with a really powerful way of looking at life instead of being stuck in these false ideas and limiting beliefs. And I believe that when we address our limiting beliefs and we address our fears, that we can begin to feel our sense of worthiness again, even though it's always there. But we begin to actually really, really feel it again versus kind of grasping for it.
Yes, like we allow it enough space that we can live from it instead of probably putting some energy towards not acknowledging it.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Yeah, it sounds like a really powerful course.
Thank you. Yeah, it's totally online. It's three different sections, and there are some also awesome bonus video trainings in there as well.
Awesome. Well, I hope some people will check it out. It sounds really, sounds really enriching.
Thank you.
So we're getting towards the end of our time today, and I'm hoping that you could leave our listeners with three concrete tips for building resilience in anxious times. What would those be for you?
That's a great question. So my first tip would be, don't be too hard on yourself. As easy and as silly as that might sound, well, not easy, but as cliche as that might sound, we're all learning. None of us have this figured out fully. And learning to practice patience and grace with yourself is extremely important. So don't be too hard on yourself. We're all doing the best we can do. And tip number two would be, accept that it's okay to say no. And know that it's not expected of you to say yes to everything that comes across your plate. Along with that, know that saying no will not make you a bad person. And you'll still be loved and you'll still be cared for and you'll still be secure. It might feel a little faulty at times, but it will still be there. And then number three would be, know that not everyone has to like you. And I wish someone told me that before, because a lot of my anxiety came from this overwhelming desire to be liked and accepted by everyone. Probably because I didn't like and accept myself unconditionally. Know that it's okay for people to not totally like you. That's perfectly fine.
Yeah, I really like those, being gentle with yourself and knowing that there's space for you to say no, right? And that not everybody is your buddy.
Yep. Yes, I love that. Exactly. It's so true.
Yeah. I was thinking when you were talking about the second one of that, I think if there's no space in the relationship for you to say no, that it's going to be a hard relationship for you to be healthy in. And so if you're running into places where there really isn't space for you to say no, where you say no and you get blasted or you get threatened or fired or, left or whatever it is, that probably means that that's not a relationship where there's really space for you to be you. And you really, all of you deserve to be in relationships with people who see you enough to allow there to be space for you. And you're worthy of that.
It is so, so true. And the first few times I practiced saying no in my marriage, well, when we first started dating, I was so scared of, what's he going to say? Is he going to leave me? Oh my gosh, is he going to think I'm rude? And when he was like, oh yeah, totally cool, whatever, no big deal, I was like, oh my, what?
Where have you been all my life?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And everyone is so deserving of the relationship where they feel secure enough to say no. Like you said, whether that's in your job or your romantic life or in your family.
Your friendships.
Friendships. Oh, that's a huge one. We are so worthy of having those supportive people in our lives. And it might just be a small handful, but man, that's all you need.
Yeah, it makes a big difference.
It really, really, really does.
Yeah. And so actually, before we end, there was one other question that I wanted to ask you that we didn't get to before. And that was what some of the myths around holding boundaries are that maybe add to an increase in anxiety around boundaries.
Some of the myths that I didn't hear that last part.
Oh, the myths about boundaries that might lead to an increase in anxiety.
Oh, yes.
The things people think are true about boundaries that are not true about
boundaries.
That's
a really great question. I love it because I think often it's easy to fall into the belief that boundaries, once they're set, you can never take them back. And I think that can cause a lot of anxiety because it feels so permanent and it feels like once I commit to XYZ, well, man, there's no going back. And that will be my decision forever. And I'm here to tell you boundaries are extremely fluid. They can change day to day, year to year, month to month. As you grow as a person and develop new strengths and strategies, your boundaries will change. And all that's important is that you are effectively communicating when those boundaries are changing, why they're changing, if you feel so called to do so, and know that the permanent idea, quote, that, or the idea that boundaries are permanent should not ideally be a cause for anxiety because that's just simply not true. Boundaries are designed to change. I think that's probably the biggest one that I run into is people are so scared to set boundaries because they feel like that's the end all be all and no one's ever going to ask them out again or to hang out or to volunteer or whatever it is. It's just not the case.
Yeah, we're allowed to change. We're allowed to grow.
We are totally allowed to grow.
Awesome. Well, thank you for sharing that.
Yes, of course.
All right. Well, I think this will wrap up our conversation today about boundaries. If you are wanting to know more about Carly, you can find her website at carlyschwete.com. So it'll be in the show notes so you can find the spelling. And she also has an Instagram account and it's Carly_Schwete. And that will also be in the show notes. The show notes, I say, I'm podcasting. It will be on her speaker page. and as well as a listing for her book, Boundaries with the Soul, and a link to her e-course, Worthy. So I'm really, really grateful for you, Carly, being here today with us to share all of this with us. I think that you're a really beautiful resource to the community. And your coaching business, is it a local coaching business or a national coaching business, international? Like what's
international?
Your-
yeah, everything is done online, whether it's one-on-one client or if you enroll in a self-care course, which I have a few options. Yep, everything. It doesn't matter where you are in the world. I'm here to support you.
Awesome. So if you were listening today and you're like, oh, she's what I need, you now have access to her. And we are really grateful for you for taking the time today to talk to us about all of this. So thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. And I'm honored to be a part of this and to share my experience and knowledge with boundaries and hope to inspire a few of you to start saying no.
No. I mean, yes. Yes.
I mean, what?
Say no. Yes.
I don't know.
Say no. Awesome. Well, thank you.